Welcome, everyone.
Yeah, welcome to the show. We've got we're here in Australia still, and we've got Peter Slattery with us, and we've got an amazing guest, Barry. Do we want to say Barry's last name?
Barry Littleton. I've had him on my show about 10 times. I've had you on now, Barry, I think.
Yeah. And yeah, Barry's got some amazing credentials, but we can't talk about them on the air because we don't want to get him fired. But he's an experiencer. You also had a near-death experience and a few other things. It's probably good to start at the top or the beginning. And when you had your, did everything open up for you after the near-death experience?
No, but it did intensify. You know, yeah. I was kind of one that was. I was born very aware. So it kind of entailed things like past life memories, and I couldn't understand what it was at first, but also the ability to kind of have see things, you know, yeah, to that degree. And as far as when I got older, I had what I had was called I kind of call them adult onset experiences, which were different in the nature of the ones that I had when I was a child, as far as they involved physical contact. And then when I actually had this accident about 5 years ago, I had died on the way to the hospital. So I kind of had a very definite near-death experience. And what it did was it stopped me from kind of hiding like I was always doing. One of those things is Peter, too. But I had always been quite comfortable hiding and just observing things instead of coming forward and speaking. So.
You know, after your near-death experience, did you feel like a lot more assured in what was going on and clear, you know, about what was happening and where you're supposed to go from there?
Yeah. It was, they said that I had taken four catastrophic traumatic brain injuries in the accident. So it took me, after the coma, I was in a coma for about almost 2 weeks. And after that, it took about 2 months to remember who I was and like my pattern of behavior, decision-making, things like that. But I still had this near-death experience, and I saw these, I would call them super nanophim, definitely angels, but I think that doesn't quite describe them accurately.
Yeah.
So after experiencing that, I could still see that in my mind's eye, even before I could remember who I was. You know, and people say, I talked to you, you seem to remember, but I was faking them out. Yeah. A good actor. But
they definitely energy, were they like pure energy beings?
Yes.
Did they take a form, but the form was like pure energy?
Yeah, yes, they're pure energy. I would say thousands of light corpuscles coming out. And around that was, you know, I'm kind of a Star Trek fan.
Yeah.
So I would call them actually defense shields. There were kind of these shields around them that the light only emitted to these shields, each individual strand. But outside of the shields was what kind of looks like a heat mirage. When you see a mirage, you see the kind of waves. That was outside of the shields. But so they didn't actually have a corporeal form, but I could see why some people would maybe draw them with wings, with the way the shields are, because they look like almost friction shields.
Yeah, we have, when we see the Andromedans, they have these energy fields around them, and when they come into our dimension, they feather back like wings. Mm-hmm. And that's what we understand, that people draw them, you know, the Andromedans are mythologically known as archangels, but they really don't have wings. They just have these energy fields that kind of look like wings when they come in to this dimension and they feather back, you know.
I'm curious, James, how many types of Andromedans have you seen?
Two very clearly. There's some other ones. There's some blue ones. I've seen some blue-skinned ones with glyphs all over them. They seem to have all kinds of glyphs on them, and I've seen the 8 to 10 foot tall ones that have magnetized light bodies. They don't even have physical bodies.
Mm-hmm. Wow, magnetized light bodies. Yes. Yeah. Now, you know, I've seen some blue ones, definitely some smaller ones, very small guys. Well, I say like maybe
they
got four
optic suits or something, don't they, Barry?
Yeah. They had all these blue suits. In fact, I've got a picture I can show later. One of the Cassara did for them. But they have on these blue suits, and they were had a blue stripe that went down them, almost looks like a racing stripe.
Uh-huh.
And they were describing a type of fiber optic crystal technology that gives them symbiotic connection with the ship.
Yeah.
So in that way, it made a lot more sense. And you know, I don't think our fiber optics have developed to quite that degree yet, but I think that's where that technology originates at.
Have you ever seen one with a kind of a darker suit on? They almost look like a Michelin man. They're real big. Their suits are really big, but when they take their helmet off, they're just like us. They're people just like us, but they wear these really thick suits. I've had these beings appear to me lately, and they said they're part of a crew that's here. They're on a massive ship, and they're wearing these suits because I guess they're geared up for battle in case, you know, the ship loses pressure or you know, the environment goes bad or something. They're fully contained in these suits.
Wow, so environmental suits to that degree.
Yeah, yeah, really thick. It's like they could, like, live in space in these things or something.
You know, I've never encountered, but I've seen some illustrations of that, because it does look like the Michelin Man.
Yeah.
And those are humanoids in there, then. Okay, it's a suit.
Yeah, that's what they showed me. But they weren't, some people call this Michelin Man a white entity, an energy entity. I'm not sure about that. I haven't seen that particular being, but I've heard about him. But this one was actually a suit. It was an intense environmental suit.
I come across that top, but they were small blue ones from Andromeda. Like, they were probably about this big. So I don't know if it was a suit. To me, it looked like a blue dude, but they looked like they had the Michelin goals and that. Yeah. But what you're talking about, they were Orion, weren't they?
I think they were, yeah. So what are the type of beings that you've experienced?
Oh, so far it's gone. You know, I just found it very interesting when you said magnetized bodies.
Yeah, my bodies.
Because that, you know, it took me a while to accept that a lot of the beings I had encountered did not have physical bodies.
Yeah.
And I mean, just light and the receptacle for their awareness and consciousness is some pattern of light or some pattern of energy. And, you know, I couldn't accept that at first. It was harder because you people want to see some type of humanoid or something that is more giving us a frame of reference for perception, you know? But I am curious real quick, what did the magnetized light body Andromedas look like?
These beings that I've seen, when they kind of step more into our dimension, they look like us, but just exquisitely beautiful, very genetically refined. They look angelic, kind of just beautiful beings, and you can see energy centers on them and things like that. It's amazing.
Is it orange light before they break through with bands going around, like an orange yellowish light?
No, they come in a more of a white, shimmery white light or silver light.
Yeah.
But the ones that I've seen come back, but there are some that step in. You know, it's my understanding, what I've experienced is that there's energy beings, and they have they're physical to their world, you know, but non-physical to our world. And they have their energy ships that are just pure energy. And then they have light beings that have magnetized light bodies, and they have their light ships, you know, which are physical to their holographic light universe. They're physical to their universe, but non-physical to ours. And then there's less dense physical ships. It goes all the way from the top, you know, to pure consciousness and energy down the vibrational continuum to actually physical beings that have physical ships.
Yeah. You know, you were the first person I had heard, that's what really had caught my attention back in about 2000, is you started mentioning ships of pure consciousness.
Yeah.
I've encountered that. Not just my encounter, that I've been on board one of those. And the distortment between us and their vibration is enough that it's almost hard to survive. You know what I mean? Not alone to get just a frame of reference to perceive anything when you're on board a ship where the runes are actually moving around you. It's a whole different...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I didn't understand as a child why I disliked merry-go-rounds so much and those rides that spin around. I know why now.
Also, you talk about that, like what you breathe in up there gives you that groggy feel the next day in some of the crafts. What's that again, Barry?
Yeah, it's called, it's temporal aphasia. And this is what they had told me. And it comes from the temporal distortment. And, you know, I've been mentioning it lately, it's kind of like a Doctor Who thing, how the TARDIS is bigger on the inside, his ship. So he explains that, he says it's in different dimensions. And those ships are undoubtedly the same way. And that's why a lot of these beings can't, especially like the magnetized beings, they can't survive outside of that ship in this dimension. So we're trying to be there physically. When you're a fool like me, and demand physical contact as opposed to astral and dream contact, it's very hard to survive there. At least that's the ships I've been on. I've been on a few that are ones that are more physical in that way, and it's easy to you know, be sustained there because I think there's more humanoid thing going on. But the vibration on the ships that contain like higher like command officers that are coming from these tubes I've described before, they're non-corporeal, and just the very vibration there is off, so it makes you feel like you're getting sick. They're bombarding you telepathically, okay? And number two, I'd say that there's something similar akin to too much nitrogen in the oxygen because it kind of gives you something like the bends, I think. I've been sitting back before, just before that, put in a chamber that is a lot like a hyperbaric chamber.
They took me up on one of the ships. They took me out of body. A beam came down and hit me in the chest. And they returned all this information to me in these gold balls. And they pulled me up on the ship. They pulled me right out of my body. They have that kind of technology. But even there, they told me I couldn't stay very long because of the frequencies, that it would be really hard to function back on Earth if I stayed much longer. You know, so they told me I had to, you know, they had to send me back into the body.
Wow. Well, one thing I want to get you to talk about too is I've told James, and it's funny because James is mates with JJ Herzak, as you know, and you've read The Keys of Enoch and that, and we've all, us three plus JJ's got similar things on the Orions and some, a lot of the information, but would you mind going into some of your experiences with your call and play Jarens, and they're not the Billy Meyer type, but also the Throne Beings?
I've got pictures of them too. Actually, I've got pictures of all that, actually. It's weird you see that. The Throne Beings, you know, and that's, once again, that is an experience that, and I say that to anybody, that I was Mr. Conscious Experiencer because I've been having it happen to me since childhood, and it was physical to a mostly degree, you know, except for the missing time. But I really thought I knew what was going on. But I was having missing time, but this experience in particular, I thought I just was awake. Okay, and these beings came with what's called inductive linkage, which is when your pineal gland begins to vibrate extremely ferociously, okay? And then after that, they started hitting me with a telethon, all right? And I was aware that these are, in a way, my own guides, all right? So these are conscious things I had. But when I get done communicating with them and what is typically called now a download, I prefer to call it telethought transfer, because it comes in like these packs, impacts, these like the small packets, but with visions and words and other things. Anyway, but that was light beings kind of in my pineal gland. I could see them moving around, all right? They kind of look like the spiders that can walk on top of water, as far as they live like a pattern in your astral vision, okay? So this was all conscious. And I decided to get these professional hypnotic regressions. I've got five of them now. One just about a week and a half ago that really just threw more questions than it. Anyway, but during this particular experience I just described, during the regression, I'm standing in front of these three beings, all right? And I call them throne beings because they're on these columns of light, all right? And I'll show a picture of it. This is the way they appear. You can see the light they're on. And the back of their heads were not corporeal. It was like these light tentacles going into space, okay? And they start telling me that they're Plagiarians. And they were very specific on the J, all right? And I asked, are you Pleiadians? For certain reasons, with what the media's done, I have some issues with the Pleiadian, the way it's perceived, I think. You know what I mean? But they said, we're over the sector of space. What's that?
With everything looking like Fabio.
Yeah, you know, if we're going to left on this, all right, guys. Look, Peter, I've had to deal with something on that, all right? I told you I just got my last regression, right? And it wasn't for the segment of missing time for adult experiences, like the other ones I had, which is 20 hours of missing time and four different experiences. This is for childhood experiences, and one in particular being the first ship that I ever saw with my mother that I cannot remember. And my mom was not into this thing. So I couldn't remember that, so I got regressed for that, you know? And it begins with just, why can't I see that? And only time I've missed time, I can remember her taking me in this event to go see, to go get a, oh gosh, it was called a Stretch Armstrong. One of the toys you stretched out, and it leaked the first time you got it, the first night. So she's taking me to get another one, and we see the ship. And I can't remember it. And she's telling me, you can remember going to get the toy, and you, Mr. Star Trek guy, you can't remember seeing the ship. So I wanted to know why. That only happens when I've been in communication with them. All right? So instead of seeing the ship, which is hard to see in the regression, I'm going to tell you guys. I'm standing in this cockpit, and there are three gentlemen in there. And I don't mean to sound racial, but they're just white guys. Okay, there's these white guys, and one of them standing in a stand-up pillar against this metal wall. There are two that are sitting kind of similar, perpendicular, the way the Roswell was described, the occupant sitting. And this is a very small ship compared to the size of it with these windows around it, all right? And these gentlemen, and it sounds funny, but I was even describing them, all right? And they stand about 6'4". The gentlemen have almost like a shag, like an 80s shag. I would say even fat in with the air. These shags with gray hair. And what's odd is these three gentlemen look very similar, like beyond being just related. Like maybe they were clones.
Yeah.
One of them stands up and tells or communicates to me telepathically. His name is Alex, A-L-E-X, capital A-L. All right. They've got on blue suits with these kind of wires that come to a box that's attached in the back. All right. Very simple suit. Almost looks like a leotard.
Yeah.
But one of the guys standing there, he does something against the wall, but he's not actually touching it. And this wall flashes, and suddenly it's translucent. All right. So translucent, I could see the water tower in my city. I could see the mall. This thing is over. And I could see my mother looking up at this thing and me looking down at the dirt thinking about Stretch Armstrong. I wasn't even paying that much attention.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I was bilocated during that encounter itself. And I'm going to tell you, the hypnotist will constantly ask me things if I'm being assaulted or being experimented on, and it wasn't like that. This was strictly an observatory, all right? And I came to the conclusion when I woke up, these gentlemen are historians. And it's so weird that I keep mentioning George Adminsky and the contacts he had and how these guys work from Venus. They're from the future. And, and I'm sorry, I'm just going to say this, not to sound racial at all, but I've had issues, as Peter knows, with all the extraterrestrials. I've encountered different beings, and never the Nordics, and all the ones that someone says the Pleiadians, they all do look like Fabio and Christian Brinkley, or maybe Michael Boltman before he cut the hair off. You know what I mean? So I was like, man, there's never a mention of black extraterrestrials at all, which I've encountered, or ethnic beings. And I've had issues with that, and now I get this next regression. And I'll be darned if I'm not standing there and there's some Caucasian guys, just regular Caucasian guys in there. Are you kidding me? In all those years, I couldn't remember that? But seriously, being bilocated like that, I think that's more common phenomenon for us experiencers than people think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I've had some recent really interesting connections with the grandmothers here in Uluru. And they all showed up and started actually talking through me and everything.
Oh, fifth dimensional.
Yeah,
they're
fifth dimensional ones.
Sol got it too. I had one communication there, but Sol and James were getting a lot of it.
Yeah, they're really trying to help the people. You know, there's a lot of extreme oppression there and things, and it's sad, what's happening with the Aboriginals there, but they said, we're trying to help. We're trying to send you healing energy and inspirational energy. We're trying to lift you into communication. But they were doing all they could. And then the Star Nation stepped in. They said, we're going to help. We're going to come in and help with this situation. So it was really interesting. But, for a long time, almost all of my contacts until just recently, I've seen blue people, yellow people, cat beings, little tiny guys that were dark. They were dark skinned, but they looked like E.T. Just like E.T. with the really big heads.
Yeah.
And brown, brown, wrinkly skin people and everything. But I had, nobody appeared to me that was a more humanoid, that a humanoid black person didn't appear to me. And so people go, why don't you talk about them? And I go, I'd love to talk to one. They just haven't appeared to me, and I can't make up a story just to make everybody happy, you know? And then they finally started appearing to me. It's kind of interesting.
And what an honest answer, because I was going to ask you about that, and then you brought it up naturally without me having to. Because, you know, a lot of people know, like, kind of like, has James encountered ethnic extraterrestrials, especially black extraterrestrials? Has he felt that vibration? And just not that you haven't, just you hadn't mentioned it, and then you just did. And that's very interesting. So these are more aboriginal mother feminine spirits?
Yeah, and then also some, I've met some other ones, some female beings have appeared to me that are fifth dimensional, and I'm not sure where they were from a ship, you know, and they're tied into the Palladians, somehow with the Palladians, and they were definitely black, they had the features. And when the Orion Council of Light beings that I met, what was interesting with them is that they were all races combined.
Yeah.
And when you look at them, you can see all the different races. It's really interesting when you look at them. But over the billions of years or whatever they've been around, they all the races have combined into one, basically. And it's I mean, they're beautiful beings when you look at them, very powerful beings. It seems like they kind of took the best that everybody had and combined it somehow. I think it's just evolution. Through the years of evolution, everything combined.
That's what I experienced with the Orions too. But I have come across black Pleiadians, like, within, you know, how they're all different groups there. As you know, that's how I got the East Eddie Australia symbol. I keep on having Aboriginal or original people, elders, spirits pop through, but they started to appear as, you know, like Shiji, like physical.
Yeah.
And then there's been a race in Sirius, that's Sirius based, and I've got some memories there as well, but they're in a place that's almost like, it's like Egypt in the rainforest. Mm-hmm. If you can imagine, you know, golden pyramids, statues, like megalithic sites, but there's also white dudes there, but there's black ones there as well. So I've had a few experiences as well, but like James says, and that's what I understand to me, if you haven't experienced, you haven't experienced, and this is where it's been great getting your information out, Barry, because a lot of people haven't spoken about it, and it's just, you know, it just builds into the bigger picture of what's really going on. Once we start networking, we start to build a bigger picture.
You know, I encountered these things, and I talked about these a few times on Peter's show, beings I call the Charters, all right? And in my life, every 7 years, I've run into one, all right? They've come around anyway, all right? And they appear to be humanoid, okay? There's nothing that's going to make you say that this isn't a humanoid, or this isn't a human, all right? Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, if you can feel energy, their energy feels, it pushes you a little bit.
Yeah.
Not like somebody with ADHD, but different, like more advanced. And they can, and I'm a strong telepath, and I darn well know how to shield somebody out, especially on this planet where most people can't do it, at least don't access it. But these Charters come right through your shields, all right? Uh-huh. And you can feel them. If you feel them, you feel that. And it makes me say that humanity is more than just biology. But to be quite honest with you, I think they feel like people from the future. Maybe about 3,000 years in the future if we don't destroy ourselves. You know what I'm saying? And I the first one that came around, okay, was I had a clairvoyant in my local city that I dealt with as a kid. I met her around the age of 15. And she started telling me that I had seen a ship as a kid, as a child with a parent. And I'm thinking, okay, you're kind of going on the new age thing. And no, I haven't. I've never seen that. And she said, well, you're probably in telepathic communication with it. And they're actually there watching you. They weren't just passing through like you think. And your friend on board that ship gave you something. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. That's never happened. You know, and it's later when I'm 31 years old, eating lunch with my mother, and she walks by and I got one of my old Omni magazines. It had a section in there called Anti-Gravity that was all antimatter. It was always about UFOs and different ships. And I was looking at someone, she goes, oh, that's like the one you and I saw. I turned, I looked there, I said, what? You know, and I couldn't remember this.
Yeah.
So that to me is, you know, implies that I think people that have contact in the way I just saw it for maybe a minute watching a ship physically and you're missing any time at all or just observing it, don't underestimate that on a super conscious level, you may have had contact. And you might be like me. I had missing time and I tried everything. I tried Ekankar, I tried pranayama yoga, I tried, you name it. I tried all that stuff. And I still, even got a certification in hypnosis so I could self-hypnotize myself. And excuse my language, I couldn't get shit back. Just little flashes, you know? Excuse my language. But I had to sit in a chair and have somebody professionally, after I build rapport with them, take me to what they call the delta level, almost, of consciousness. Yeah. So I could retain these memories. Then what I remember was like, whoa! Mr. Conscious Experiencer, I didn't really know crap.
Yeah. Sorry. That happened with my brother and I. They used to take us all the time, but it was positive. It was benevolent experiences, and my brother went through regression, so I let him go through first to find out what happened because I didn't want to get thrown into one of those terror programs if it wasn't so good. And he's like a front runner in that kind of energy, but he used to be a national champion in Taekwondo and all that stuff. So he experiments and just goes right into everything. You know, I said, okay, go for it. You know, and I'll sit back and watch. And he said, oh, no, he told me what happened. He said, yeah. He goes, no, we were going up and up on the ships and everything else. But it was positive. But the interesting thing I found out is what they can do is I was walking across this field. And all of a sudden, I just got spacey for a second. And I almost missed a step. And I kind of had to catch myself. And I go, whoa, something just happened. You know, what just happened? I couldn't figure out what happened. And then I found out later I was gone for 2 weeks. In their time, and that I went up on the ships and I was being taught all this stuff, and I was actually teaching other people on how to deal with Earth and how to deal with the energies here and how messed up it is. I was teaching incoming people how to deal with that and things. And then I came back, and I it was all in a half a step. They put me back, and so a lot of people don't understand that time is irrelevant to them. You can go live for 10 years somewhere else and they'll put you back and you'll miss a half a step or a second out of your time.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, fitting the space-time continuum. Exactly. Yeah. You're dealing with beings, entities, alliances that can do that. It changes everything.
Yeah. a ship. This huge gold ship was going towards the moon and this jet was coming on it. Full, you know, afterburners on, everything. And all of a sudden, the jet just vanished. And I go, whoa, you know, what happened? And so I talked to him later. I go, what happened? And they said, well, said that pilot's going to have a hard time landing. You know? And I said, why? And they said, because in the time we put him in, they don't have runways. You know, so they just popped him into a different time. And they said, well, he was coming at us with deadly force. We just put him in a different time. And then his buddies came the next day, and three jets came and started circling the ranch looking for him. And we've got it all on. We have both incidents. We filmed both of them, so we have it on film.
Oh, is that the one with the helicopters?
No. It was the one where these three jets. It's not. I'll have to get it up on the site. We haven't done that, but I have it in my presentation. But we have one where the moon, this ship's going towards the moon, a big ship, and then the jet ship. We have that. And then the second sequence is the next day where the other three jets start circling the ranch really low. I mean, they just kept circling the ranch trying to find out where their buddy went.
Now I think in one of these stories, you've seen yourself when you've been on board a ship, haven't you? Seeing yourself on the ground?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think because you were saying something about being around a tower, and then later people have reported seeing a ship around a tower.
They took me up on a ship and then flew around a fire tower, one of the spotter towers they have up there, and there's people in the tower, and then it was amazing. And then a couple weeks later, these people went on Town Hall, one of the local TV shows, and started talking about the experience, and it was exactly what I saw. You know, it was pretty funny. And they drew a picture of the ship, and the kid drew it with crayons. But, you know, it kind of blew my mind because it validated what I experienced. You know, it gave me physical validation of the other experiences.
Now, those beings, who are those beings? Those Andromedans or Pleiadians?
I just called them Pleiadians. You know, they were, that group was Nordic. It's a woman particularly. and would come and pick me up quite a bit. And then she, her name's Blaji, and but she's about 2 million years ahead of us in evolution, and she's coming back in time to help us out. So she's a master teacher, 2 million years in the future, coming back to assist us. And she's about, I think she's about 340 years old, but she looks about 25. Uh-huh. Very beautiful.
And that's funny because we shared you too. I don't think I've told you, Barry, that we've been still texting and that, but Shiji's like, there's two different types, and there's a fifth dimension version, a seventh version, and the other facets of myself as well. So this is where the stuff that's happened since I last spoke to you, all this is starting to unfurl and make more sense to me. Though people watching this or listening might go that, you know, this is far out, but there was actually an experience with you at your ranch. I'm upstairs with Sol in the meditation room where he does all the workshops and all the work. And this dude in a purple robe just walked out of the room and down. I'm going, there's no one else up here. And I'm walking down and James starts to walk up. And we're like, where's the dude that was just up here? And it was another version of James. Another version of James. So, you know, once you start going multidimensional, as you know, you'll be interacted with other facets of yourself too, yeah, like that.
Yeah, we're multidimensional beings existing on a vibrational continuum. And most people are running around thinking they're just a body and a personality. But these other off-world beings are the same. They can come to you in their seventh-dimensional body or their sixth-dimensional body, and they're more aware of that. You know, they're expressing on many dimensions at once.
You know, yeah, very much so. You know, and the fact that, you know, I've been talking a lot about lately how, as beings, how we're a real division of consciousness in this body is between the physical body and the dream body.
Yeah.
And how you can actually transfer your total consciousness and awareness to either body. And if you can do that with your dream body, you transfer your awareness and consciousness to your dream body, it doesn't conform to the same physical parameters and laws that these bodies do, which would be gravity, shape, form, these type of things. You know what I mean? So it's very interesting. And we're dealing with beings that have mastered that ability by far.
Even yeah, the physics are different on that level.
Hey, one thing I wouldn't mind getting your take on, Barry, and you've spoken about this before, and I've talked to James about this lately. There's two things I wouldn't mind getting you to go into if possible, and that's the telephone and the greys using that, electrical devices.
Yeah.
And also AI, because since James has come over here, and I know he's been speaking about it for a while, and so is the Book of Shiji and other things, where we're talking about artificial intelligence, another conscious grid that he's created here besides the other grids that are here. But I think it's very important to get that information out, especially with the cell phones and the greys. Do you want to go into this if you can?
Sure. You know, that was something that I heard Dr. Linda Moulton Howe mention a couple of times. And about a few months ago, she had done one of the Coast to Coast AMs, and she had talked about a couple of masseuses that had gotten in touch with her from different locations, experienced the same thing of having a client come in, deactivating their cell phone, and while they're rubbing them, normally when the stomach's on the client's on their stomach, they're rubbing on their back, the neck, they hear like a crack or something, or they see static that looks like on a TV almost. And then they'll see what appears to be a gray come up almost multidimensional out of this person and be like looking around, okay?
Wow.
And this one lady has said that at the time that this happened, and she's observing this, the cell phone that is deactivated on the counter makes some type of odd screeching sound, which I think you've heard before, Peter. Actually, I've heard it before, that disrupts telephone communication and things like that. But it sounds like this screeching, all right? And then this gray goes back into the body. And the masseuse said it was almost like this cell phone had given a frequency that said you're out of your cage and put it back. Now, when she had said this, she suddenly started getting communications from hundreds of masseuses, probably all over the world, I guess, saying that they've experienced something quite similar to that in terms of seeing a gray coming out and looking around. Now, you take that and kind of cross-reference that with a lot of different experiencers, encounters that involve soul transfer technology and people seeing bodies themselves on these ships. All right, that's not what my experience has been like exactly, but I think that the amount of reality in that needs to be examined quite a bit. But what worries me is that if we're dealing with implants at a type of control, the amount of people that are carrying these cell phones around in their pocket. And you've got experiencers saying, I've been having sexual encounters with what appears to be a extraterrestrial female, but humanoid. And they're on the ship, and a mantis comes out and brings out this woman and said, we know you're comfortable with her form and not ours, but now she's going to inhabit your consciousness and share consciousness with you. And this woman turns into a ball of light and enters his chest while he's on this bench. Shared consciousness. Then you take that and cross-reference that with what Dr. Howe is talking about. And the fact everybody has one of these things in their pocket right now. I just got told the other day, somebody's calling for dinner, and I said, you're not going to go out and get your sister? He told me, heck no, I'm just going to text her. I mean, so the amount of the people are locked in on this is, it's food for thought on
yeah.
that.
Yeah, is that kind of what you want? I've always had a bad feeling about it. And I shut it down completely. It's always on airplane mode, and I try to keep it away from me as much as possible. But
I bet
we got a black helicopter flying over right now.
And that happened when I was doing this interview with Kelly Coffey, man. And she jumped out of the seat and she ran off, and the seat's still going around. And I'm just left there talking to people, and she's got a white helicopter over her house.
Yeah.
She comes back
at the front of the conference we did the other day, too.
Yeah, we had a black helicopter hovering over the conference building the other day. That it was last weekend. And all my computers started going bonkers. It started going haywire. And we're actually using Peter's computer right now because they totally killed my Skype recorder and everything else. They messed my whole computer up. So I've got to go and deal with that. But I was actually interviewing Laura Eisenhower, and they flew a black helicopter over, but it had a big bell, like a half of a ball shape on the back of it, and they flipped a switch and just hit me with a microwave pulse or something, knocked everything down, but it made me sick and ill, like gave me all kinds of skin problems and everything after that, but it hit me so hard that it made me kind of loopy, like, where am I, like, what just happened? You know, and I it kind of got disoriented for a minute. And what's weird is that where I do my broadcast and my show from, I have two double back foil, you know, things over the top of it and a grid, a metal grid, and it's all grounded and everything. And if I didn't have that, I'd just be like a zombie right now or something. But, you know, they've been using some pretty extreme technology to shut this information down, you know, and stop it from getting out.
I mean, that's definitely that's a very real issue. It's very real, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Didn't you have something after you started talking to me, Barry? You had something happen the first time we spoke or something, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, my friend here, old Bill, he was always going on about that, and interference from that source, you know. And I said, I've had experience that. And then you and I were talking, and one day somebody severed our communications. I mean, it happened a couple of times, and I saw somebody doing it, literally. You know, somebody that shouldn't even have been around where I used to live. Very, very, very odd. You know, I mean, there's no doubt there's something going on, you know. And there's certain things that, like, I've been very careful to never mention. I'm not going to jeopardize myself like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like, man, if they want to shut you up, it's like, you don't have a chance. They're going to shut you up. I mean, it kind of sucks.
Yeah, they showed up. They were like total men in black. Showed up at my nephew's house. You know, they had the hats and everything, and they showed up at his house and they started interrogating him. And my nephew's very adept. You know, he's very tapped in, and he started calling in the Andromedans and the other beings to help him out. And they started getting really hot and sweating and everything. And one of the guys wiped his forehead like this, and he wiped off his eyebrows. And one of them was hanging over to the side and everything else. They have no hair, so they have to try to look more human. And it was really hilarious. And the other guy saw it, and he goes, okay, you know, we're done here. You know, we're done here. And he goes, wow. You know, he walked, and they walked out the door, and he walked out right behind him, opened the door, and they were gone. And he's on the fourth floor, and there's this staircase that they have to go down to get to the bottom. He said they just vanished. As soon as they went out the door, they vanished. But they're interrogating about me and the work I was doing and everything. And he was kind of holding his ground. And in his mind, he thought, he goes, because you know, well, I probably shouldn't say this, but he thought about getting something, you know, to protect himself. And they turned around and looked at him and go, bad idea. He didn't even say anything, you know, but, so they're totally telepathic. They had some badge with the eagle on it and a shield, you know, like a shield and an eagle. But, yeah, it was pretty interesting. But those guys are out there. They're definitely out there.
You know, I've been hearing a lot about them coming by, like, workshops and things like that. Like, I think Mary just did one.
Yeah.
There, yeah, a big one. I was hearing that from, like, several different people that there were a couple odd individuals that came in there that appeared to maybe possibly not be your normal tourist.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and that right there, like, the charters and the amount of beings we have that either are humanoid or can project a field of energy to our senses to make us think that they're humanoid in form, I think it's astounding. And once you really start seeing by energy and seeing like the form that people have, the biofield that's beyond just the colored aura and what the actual shape of the kind of mushroom spherical shape that people have, and you can actually see a crowd of that and the same shapes, and all of a sudden you see two or three shapes in there that do not conform to that at all. But when you look with your third dimensional eyes, you just see a crowd of people or a couple of people sitting on the bus, and they're not what they appear to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's if you can see by energy and see by spirit, it changes everything.
Yeah. I feel them mostly. I feel when they're around, and when something's off, I feel it immediately. And I automatically, I'll just turn and look at the source, and they get really uncomfortable. You know, when they're spotted, they don't like to be, you know, spotted. It upsets them a bit.
James, I'm curious. You talk about the feline beings a lot, and I was wondering how many different kinds of races of them have you met? How many different species of feline beings? Is it just one or
three?
Or several?
Actually, three. One of them is kind of like us. They're humanoid, more like a cat type being, and they're fifth dimensional ones. The sixth dimensional ones are panther type beings. They're very tall, about 12 feet tall. They appear more as an energy. And the seventh dimensional ones are like lions. And they're upright lions, like humanoid lions. And there's a long history of them, like Sekhmet and Narisha in India. And they're all benevolent protectors or protectors of the gods. And they all have that quality. In India, they used to pray, the villages would pray to Narsringa, you know, whenever bandits were in the area coming, these beings would appear and just knock them off the horses and slash up their clothes, and they'd you know, drive them away. But, yeah, there's a long history of that, and you know, I do things backwards. I see them, you probably do too. I see them, I meet them, and I find out, and then I go, okay, where, I gotta research this, you know, is there any historical evidence about these beings? And I find out it's you know, replete with the evidence all throughout history of these beings, and you know, giant statues and everything, you know, concerning their presence, and you know, the ancient scrolls and things like that of the Anunnaki and things like that, they have these feline beings standing right next to them, and so they were the protectors of the gods until the gods fell, you know, the Anunnaki fell and started going against universal law. And they said, "We're out of here. You guys are losing it. We can't support this anymore." And they went back to the Sirius system and Lyra.
That's what, yeah. Sol and I've interacted with ones from Orion, Lyra, Sirius, and there was one golden type similar to Bacal and that, but I didn't get a reference. It was almost like a realm.
Yeah.
But that's.
They have huge heads. They have massive heads, yeah. And they'll appear in front of you and freaks people out when they see these beings. And so they're real goofy. They're very goofy. They really play with you and act really goofy to get you out of your fear and out of your, you know, your piousness. Because the more you're in your joy and you feel comfortable, the easier it is for them to communicate with you.
We got full here on sort of each corner of the property. And one started communicating with us just before James got here. And then James brought her in when he got here. And her name's Cahal, but her head's like this big,
yeah.
And the eyes are huge. Like you're looking into a blue universe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, have you interacted with any of the felines at all?
You know, I have, and you know, they came in an energetic form, and it was more like these massive shadows.
Yeah.
But what this communicated with me was xenophones. This race didn't. I think it's more the panther ones you're speaking of, Jenny. And they're xenomorphs. They really don't prefer interactions with other species, and they were assigned here in guardianship. But more to the point, they were also showing me something in the lines of micro wormholes, natural ones, and that they're actually putting up like a white shield, a white wall behind the wormhole in what's like what they call the Mako right now, that quantum hologram that stops negatives from coming through. And that's what I think a lot of them were doing here, was trying to control these micro wormholes, but that's nearly impossible because they're unstable. That's what the interaction I had with them was. But they felt, the energy felt definitely feline-like, but in shape, what I saw was a huge kind of black mass, kind of. Not a threatening one, but just a black mass.
We see them at the ranch running across the field every once in a while, and they can go down on all fours or walk upright. And they're so fast. I mean, you just see a streak. You go, what was that? You know, and it was these guys just like crossing the field.
You know, it took me some time. Like, I had finally, I was in communication with some beings that, you know, like one that's this amphibious, you know, saying it's come from at the time, they're using terms like e-space. And that was, you know, that was 30 years ago. That didn't make sense. That's something we would call multiverse now. But I didn't think of them being an aquatic planet in the multiverse outside of our own space-time continuum. Where this begins and ends is infinitesimal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, we've got about 10 minutes. Oh, I just under 10 minutes left. Hey, are you able to go into anything that you've got into lately, Barry? In terms of your recent regression, are you able to say anything that came out of that?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier about the cockpit I seem to be in, and the gentlemen that were Caucasian that they seemed almost to be clones, and the way they were able to observe at this wall, and this room was small. And with the size of the ship, what I told my mother and the way I had to describe it, we both did, it was very large. So this thing appeared to have many, like, windows or grates outside of it. And I know most of these ships don't have windows because they're biological organisms, okay? But this being that, and the fact it was a screen and the way he just activated, they were doing little more than observing. That's why I think they're historians and probably from our future. What better way to actually make charts and history is by other observing it. I've long since thought many of the ships we saw are historians because they're not really interfering with our timeline. A few people may be going, whoa, but they're not really changing anything. And what better way to get records? The only thing I will say is that they feel like people and they looked kind of like clones. What happens in our future to make us have to go to cloning like that?
Yeah.
Just food for thought. You know what I mean? Peter, I think two things I didn't answer that you asked me, because I'm going on these weird tangents. one of them was about the negative energy that's coming here and about some kind of the soul traps and things like that.
Yeah.
That is a point that, you know, I had to deal with this. My experiences have all been really positive. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've not dealt with the dark thing, but I've been kind of protected, and nonetheless, it's been brought to my attention. The fact that some of our spirits are tagged when we incarnate here, and as we grow, they become almost scalar-like and more dimensional. I mean, that kind of dark force interaction is so insidious, I didn't even think about it. That's on top of being aware of what we talked about before, which is the net, the scalar frequency that starts around Saturn, goes over to Cydonia of Mars, to the dark side of the moon, what they call the soul catcher back there, or Richard Hoagland calls the shard, and it comes to certain monolithic structures here on Earth, all right? And that produces this field of energy that nullifies not just our psychic abilities, but nullifies our soul memories. And us all being immortal souls, okay, not having any type of soul memory is a problem.
Yeah.
And I think we're also dealing with something else. Maybe in terms of, I know you like Star Trek, don't you, James?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, when we deal with something like Q, omnipotent being like Q, when he kept popping up on the Enterprise, you know, and Picard said, why are you here? And he said, there's something about humanity. Why is it that you keep having this gumption to go forward? You keep striving to go forward. And said, in 10,000 years, Riker looked at him, you know how advanced we'll be then? He's like as advanced as us or beyond us. And we have to know why. And we know how powerful Q was. But us looking at his immortal souls, when they showed up on Voyager, the one of them wanted to die because he said, we've done everything there is to do. We know the outcome of every game.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And if we're immortal souls, what left is there but us to trick ourselves to not remembering? It's kind of like doing hide and go seek with your friends when you're a kid.
Yeah.
You can do it a few times. But after the first time, you know where everybody's at. But you keep doing it anyway.
Yeah. they had a scene like that on Red Dwarf. You know, the computer there, I can't remember what his name was. People would talk to him. And he goes, I've read everything on the ship. You know, I'm bored. And he goes, will you erase, you know, these three books so I can read them again? And he goes, okay. And he goes, done. He goes, what's done? And he goes, the three books. And he goes, what three books? it was really funny. But, seems like they have the ability to do that.
Yeah. And we look at that, immortal souls, it means we're beings on the soul level that can take matter and energy and create space. And that is what he was doing. And that means, essentially, we have two major obstacles, which would be boredom and stagnation.
Yeah.
All right? And in my way, I kind of take that and turn that to the Tibetan Book of the Dead, the Bardo Fodol. You know, that describes, like, the several, I think, 7 days after death. But the first 3 days, all the negative things you did in this body comes back millionfold.
Yeah.
The next three, it's the positive things. But when they describe the positive things coming back, they describe it being blissed out by that love and that type of heavenly energy, that love coming back. And then you stop, you get stagnated and quit going forward towards the creator, pure creator consciousness. They kind of coordinated the book I did read to like these gods on a beach that can have everything brought to them you could ever want. And what meaning do they have to really get off that beach and do anything? That, you know what I mean? That is, I think, just maybe what we're experiencing on the immortal soul level. It's just food for thought, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Actually, I wouldn't mind doing that beach for a couple of weeks. I'd tell them to pick me up, you know, take me up to those R&R planets and just give me about 2 weeks of total rejuvenation, restoration.
You get that shirt, you're going to
bench and then put me back, you know, and I'll be fine, you know, I'll continue. But hey, I don't know about you, but I've been getting beat up down here. You know, people don't realize there's an interdimensional war going on, and these guys have taken some pretty good hits lately, you know, pretty good shots of me, and they've done their damage, but I always seem to repair myself and go forward. But lately it's been, you know, they hit me pretty hard. That I'm still recuperating. And, you know, it wasn't the entities, you know, the reptilians, the greys or anything. It was our own government with their toys that finally nailed me, you know. But, you know, one of these days I'll figure out how to totally shield against that too.
But we'll have to wrap it up here too now, guys, because we're getting sort of to the time. But is there anything you just want to say before we wrap it up? It's been a pleasure having you on too, Barry.
Yeah.
And thanks for having me on too, James.
That's funny, guys. You guys are asking specific questions. I feel like I deviated off everything and didn't answer anything. I apologize.
No, you're awesome. You're great.
It's been good.
Incredible guest. I definitely will have you on the show again. And it was awesome meeting you, too.
And, it was so neat meeting you. Some of your experiences.
Yeah.
Awesome. We'll wrap it up there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I guess we're signing off here. Thanks again for coming on the show and stay in touch and... we'll definitely have you on again, because I know there's a lot more to the story.
Definitely, definitely.
Thank you. God bless.
All right, you too.
Jeez. Bye.